Jingle bell.
Yeah.
I wanna put in some like jingle bell sounds here or something like that. Let's make that happen.
That's nice.
Make that happen, Jacob.
Do it, Jacob.
Jacob of the future. Because he's Jacob. Jacob of the future. Never knew that Christmas was
I was really trying to see about where he gonna go with this.
Never knew that Christmas was where it was at because he's Jacob. Anyway.
Christmas is awesome.
Christmas is where it's at. Welcome, everybody. Oh, my gosh. It is the night before. It could be the day before Christmas, actually. Who knows when I'm posting this?
Yeah.
And speaking of which, take a look in our archives and look up our episode on Twas the Night. That was actually a pretty fun episode.
It was back when
we were young.
Young in the podcasting sense and in real life.
Should I...
Guys, I'm sorry for any background noise, but I just got a cute, tiny little kitten.
Tiny.
And he is a little terrorist, and he attacks everything and anything he can, so there will be miscellaneous noises in the background.
What's his name?
Potter.
Scared Potter?
You wish.
I was going to name him Magnus after a warlock with cat eyes that I like from a book. And then Josh, yeah, that's
from
right.
From a book?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to name the book. Okay, cool.
No, I mean, it's from an entire series of books.
Right.
It's from the Shadowhunter series, guys.
Oh. I thought it was going to become the book series that must not be named.
He who shall not be named. So we had that.
Who shall not be named.
And then Josh wanted to name him Raphael because we have a thing about cats. Like, I always want them to be named after characters. So we have Tink. She's after Tinkerbell.
What?
We have Grimm from the Grimm Brothers Fairy Tales.
Hmm. Not really a character, but still.
Yeah, we want it to be based off of like something fantasy-based. How's that?
Pretty cute. Yeah.
And he is really cute, isn't he? And then, so I wanted it to be
Magnus.
Should
have named him Peck. Willow.
Oh, Willow. Oh.
Yeah. Another time, another cat.
Hmm. Josh wanted to name him Raphael, which is a character. Raffy is what him and Guess were trying to sell me on. I wasn't a fan. It's an archangel. So it's more biblical than fantasy oriented. Although
he's
there
a
are
Ninja
some...
Turtle. And a historical, you know, whatever. But, you know.
Archangel in the Hebrew. He wasn't trying to name him after the Hebrew archangel. But
no.
When you look up the name Raphael, that's what pops up. So I was like, I'm not a fan.
Well, but
you're right.
Even Raph from the Ninja Turtles was named after a... I don't know, an artist or a genius or something, because they were all named after Renaissance era.
That would have been cute to name him after one of the other Ninja Turtles.
Like the best Ninja Turtle, Donatello.
You want to be Donatello? It's too late. We've been calling Potter for days.
It's too late.
But yeah.
So you got a kitten for Christmas.
I did. Yeah, we did. Together.
My friend Chelsea got a baby.
Oh, congrats.
She got a baby for Christmas.
Boy or girl?
It's a boy. They have named him River.
Aww.
In order. I love that they did that because it's nice and kind of gender neutral. So if, you know, little, you know, River grows up and wants to be by a different gender or known by a different, different pronoun.
It's easy
because River can go either way. River, it's not necessarily masculine or feminine.
That's nice.
Welcome to the world. It sucks. You're going to love it.
Yeah, bringing it back. Oh, can I just say, not to give away when we're posting or recording this, but happy Christmas Eve, Eve.
Yeah, Eve. Well, this is the Christmas Eve episode.
So
when they're listening to this, it will be Christmas Eve. Yeah, I mean, if you have the time. I totally get it if you don't.
Yeah.
But Christmas Day even, like, you know.
Whenever you guys feel like it, we're here for you.
Any Christmas traditions?
Oh, shit, I do have some.
Cool.
Yeah, I forgot about that I was doing this.
Because, as you know, we've been doing a little something over the course of these Christmas episodes here on Disney Channel Surfers. By the way, this is Disney Channel Surfers.
This has got to be the longest it's
a
taken
a podcast where we ride the waves of nostalgia, revisiting some of our favorite Disney movies, TV shows, TV specials, Christmas episodes, Christmas movies, you know? We've covered a few Christmas movies. This episode is a little special. It's a little different. Because it is based on a Disney special called A Disney Christmas Gift. And we'll get more into that after Casey's thing.
Yeah. Hold on one second. Sorry. I have Scott. I want to do a shout out to Scott first. So, yeah, I found it. Here it is. Scott, friend of the show, Scott. Hey. He said, growing up every year on Christmas Eve, my mom would either bring us into her bedroom to sleep or make sure we were asleep. And then my dad would bring all the presents into the living room and put them under the tree. He would dress up as Santa Claus, start ringing a bell, and go, ho, ho, ho. And our mom would wake us up like, hey, what is that? We'd peek around the corner into the living room and see Santa putting a present under the tree or eating a cookie or something. Then we would go back to our mom's bedroom as he snuck out and got changed. They did it so well that they made it look like our dad was sleeping on the couch. My younger brother still thinks they got a friend to do it each year and has no idea it was our dad.
Nice.
So isn't that so sweet?
Similar to what we had going on.
Very
I like
similar,
it.
Yeah. And Scott's brother every year leaves out salami and cheese for Santa instead of milk and cookies. Ugh. Oh, and beer. I think he leaves a beer. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
If I was Santa, I'd want something savory once in a while.
Yeah, but oh God, who knows how long that salami's been sitting out. And
I mean, by the time Santa gets there, you're not wrong, but salami is like one of those things that just doesn't go bad.
You want that sweat. You want that salami sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what makes it taste good.
Ew. That's grossing me out. All right. And then I asked some friends on Facebook.
I think Colleen responded, didn't she?
She did. Yeah. Let's see. What a
Something about garlands with Fruit Loops?
Yes. Our tradition is we strung Fruit Loop garlands for the tree. And when we decorated it, we all lay the ornaments on the floor to see the memories of the places we've been and the things we that we love.
Nice.
And as we put them on our tree, we listen to Little Marcy Christmas records. And then on Christmas Eve is when my mom has procrastinated and the rest of the house is cleaning and all the gifts wrapping and gift bow and tagging. So I spend the whole night up with her helping her wrap, bow, and gift tag.
It happens every year that you know who you are. You people who put off all the gift wrapping until the night before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our mom did that.
Every time. It's so funny because you bear witness to it every time.
It's for her too. It's like anxiety ridden and stressful. I feel like Colleen and her mom are doing it out of, it seems almost fun, but maybe that's just through Colleen's eyes. I don't know.
Right.
Friend of the show, Chris, said tie-dye wrapping paper for Christmas.
Nice.
So they hand tie-dye it. It's so cool. I've gotten to see it. It's beautiful.
How do you do that? That's crazy.
Chris, tell us. How do you do it?
Tell us.
He does it with his grandparents every single year, and sadly, they aren't going to get together this year because of COVID, but he's chasing his tail. My kitten is chasing his tail. It's so
ridiculous.
Cute. Let's see. And then Abby said her favorite Christmas tradition is watching White Christmas on Christmas Eve.
In the light
of our Christmas tree.
Okay. That's fine.
For me,
where are my people at? Who? Come on. I'm not alone here, guys. Where are my White Christmas haters? Come on. Let's unite.
Brothers. No. You're wrong.
Or sisters. I mean, we could, you know,
they
whatever.
Never sisters.
I just
It's a lovely movie, and
I know I'm in the minority.
I also partake in that tradition of watching White Christmas every year on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, you guys got to get it out of the way. I don't want to run the risk of possibly seeing it. I feel like you guys are planning something or something. I'm not gonna watch it.
Not on Christmas Eve, bro.
I will avoid it.
On Christmas Eve, I watch that movie, and I also watch The Santa Claus, which usually is
you already
like,
watched that one.
I did. I usually watch it multiple times a year because it is my favorite Christmas movie. There are plenty of Christmas movies to go around, but
this is the first year I listened to a great podcast episode and I'm appreciating Batman Returns as a Christmas movie.
That's fun.
Somebody made a compelling argument where it's like, oh wow, you know what? Like
it is.
It's a different kind of Christmas movie where it's definitely darker and it
definitely darker.
Obviously. And they actually brought me around to appreciate Batman Returns a little more. Because I had kind of written it off. It's like, no, that's the bad one. Like, we've all kind of come to the understanding mm-hmm. of Batman good, Batman Returns, yeah. Batman Forever, good. Like, nobody openly says that. But if you press them, everybody knows Batman Forever is actually good.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin, the most hated, probably.
Yes.
And then, of course, the Christopher Nolan trilogy, they progressively... So, Batman Begins, good. It, like, resurged. Dark Knight, though, like, blew us out of the water. And then Dark Knight Returns and just brought us down. Like, yeah, you know. Yeah,
agreed.
It was still good. It was still a good, Batman yeah. movie. Anyway, but now I'm more inclined to think that Batman Returns is almost, like, on the same level as Batman now.
I feel like you could do a whole podcast about Batman.
I could, yeah. Oh, because then, oh god, then there's a whole series, which is a whole nother thing.
That's what
thing.
I'm saying.
And there was a special about that series, starring the voice of Max as Robin, actually.
Oh, bringing wow. Bringing it back.
He actually did a good job.
I'm sure he did. He's great.
So, what did we watch? I think we posted. Yeah, we posted a link for you guys.
Yeah, this movie is it's basically a bunch of shorts, just like the Halloween special was.
Yeah, so very similar to our Halloween special. It,
but I love the opening. Actually, brought tears to my eyes. Like, it makes me want to cry
because I remember this song. So,
oh my gosh, yes. It's like a true Disneyland song, too. It's something you would hear in a parade. Like,
yeah. Do you think that was footage of Disneyland, like Main Street, you think?
It was, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought so.
No.
And there was like some, because they did. They have awesome window shopping on Main Street, USA.
Oh my gosh, it's magical.
And it looks like they had some amazing window displays. Because they really do go out with those window displays. Like, I remember one year we went there, it was like the year Mulan was new. So there was just...
Oh my god, I remember that too. Like,
scenes from the movie all throughout. And that was badass. Cool.
And they, like... The thing about the windows, even now still, is like all of the decor and stuff in there is just like hand-painted. Where they could easily move to like an electronic window display.
Oh yeah.
They like... True. You know, actually have the art there. Like, you can see mm-hmm. that it's still art, you know?
Right.
It's beautiful. Not that digital stuff
yeah,
is
Disney
art.
Yeah, Disney doesn't spare any expense.
No. It's, yeah.
We're
going to
have a window display. Well, if we're going to have a window display, we're going to do a window display.
Yeah.
You know what? In fact, set up little air freshener things to spray, you know, the cookies that we're cookies, selling down the street.
Yeah. And popcorn. The popcorn doesn't need an air freshener because so you can smell up. It.
It doesn't smell. And again, like, this is the power of Disney. It doesn't really take away from my love of it. It does feed my hatred of it, though. Like,
the spraying of the pop of the cookies?
Well, yeah, it's manipulative.
No, it's magic.
No, it's manipulative. They're trying to get you to buy.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong, but it smells amazing. People buy candles that smell like cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
And cotton candy.
And popcorn.
So yeah, we open with this awesome song.
It's lovely.
Well, they really bring us a Disney Christmas.
Yeah, that was intense. That was intense, I will say.
When it's almost Christmas.
But I love that song so much. And I like I said, just watching all the people at the window, it's very sweet. And the song is very much like a song that I feel like I would hear before like a parade or a fireworks show almost. Like, it's really a Disney original song.
Right. And this special was one of... So, it's interesting. Next year, we're going to cover another one of these specials.
Jiminy?
That comes earlier called, Jiminy Cricket's Christmas.
Yeah, because we watched the two.
Because there, it was a box set, and it had a red video cassette with Jiminy Cricket's Christmas on it, which is similar to this, just a bunch of different specials put together. And then you had the gray video cassette case, and that had Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the green video cassette case, and that had this, a Disney Christmas gift. And I remember that one because it had, like, Merlin on it and stuff, and you knew that was the one.
Yeah.
Because that's the one that has a segment, which is the most out of place segment in this entire special, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
And I wanted to get to, because I like how we did with the Halloween special, where it's like, we kind of imagine, it's like, okay, I can see how some of these things work for the time that it came out, but what would we change? What would we throw in to make it a little more modern? Particularly when it came to the Disney villains segment, we were like, oh, they should throw this villain in and this villain in. Like,
yeah, way better villains.
So it opens with that awesome song and footage of
the park
back then, and these little kids looking in at the windows all
so
creepily.
Cute.
No.
And the dolls, like the wooden dolls that they have in there, are so good.
And they have that Mickey Mouse, you know, the Mickey Mouse
Santa?
That would run around. Yep. And
so
Santa
cute.
Hanging out with everybody. It sucks. They would do this in their promotional material, making it look like the characters hang out with you.
They
it's
don't.
Like,
you have to
they
wait
don't.
In line to
yeah.
go see them. Yeah. They used to just walk up to you. There's a picture of me and Gus and Melissa with Goofy. And
right.
you can tell that there was like, he had walked up to us while we
yeah.
were going to take a picture
totally.
Or something else.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely they don't do that shit anymore. They're too famous for us.
Yeah, man.
Too famous.
I mean, I get it.
I get it.
Okay.
The first skit that we go into is Once Upon a Winter Time.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling Jacob the other day, I have had this in my head for weeks now,
yeah.
trying to figure out where is it that I can watch this, because I did Googling and I couldn't find it in anything except
oh,
for in
here
German.
You go.
Yeah. Well, I found it. And I love it just as much as I remember.
Ooh, how is it in German, actually? That sounds awesome.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, same thing, but with German voices. Voiced over. But it was great. I love this so much. I love
no dialogue, all sung.
Yeah, no dialogue. It's all, you know, the music in it is so good.
They kind of cheated Disney in this one, because, you know, this appears in another package film type situation called Melody Time.
Yes.
Really good.
Really good.
Highly recommend. It's available on Disney Plus.
Yeah, definitely go and watch that, because again, like, the music is so good in that, in the whole thing too.
Yeah, exactly.
But
and it totally works. Like, it worked
totally
in that and it
worked.
Works here. This is, it fits. This is very Christmassy. I mean, Once Upon a Winter Time. Come on.
Yeah, and they're like in a horse-drawn sleigh.
Horse-drawn sleigh with two badass horses. And there are these two rabbits and this cute couple from, I don't know what era we're in. I want to say
15s.
Yeah. Oh, 50s? Really?
Shit, maybe I'm wrong. No, I'm wrong.
I think
I'm
it's
definitely
way back.
Wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. Because I forgot about the petticoat and the skirt
yeah.
and shit. Yeah,
and
no,
people
you're
are skating.
Yeah.
And she had like all those different layers
yeah,
of
the petticoats.
Petticoats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, you're right. Anywhere between like the 1800s
there,
is when we started wearing cages.
Yeah, huh. Yeah, it is. So late 1800s, maybe early 1900s,
mm-hmm.
maybe. And yeah, I like that segment where, because there's this couple in a horse-drawn carriage and they're rolling along and they go past these skating people, which is always awesome. Like, they have pictures of that. Like, back in the day, I guess people just went
found
and skated.
Found a pond and skated. It's so sweet. I imagine that if you go somewhere on the East Coast that you see more of that too, where it's more frozen than it is
yeah,
here.
Right.
Like, we don't really have places that it's safe to go skating.
That's true.
But, you know, I hope... Didn't that exist still?
And they decide to do some skating of their own.
But they go kind of away from everybody else to have privacy. It's mm-hmm. like a very romantic date. And one thing leads to another, and...
There's a disagreement, or
yeah,
there's
a
misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
The guy character gets
He's
a little overzealous
mm-hmm.
and totally
sprayed her
like
with...
the ice.
Which is mean.
Yeah.
But funny.
Cool.
It is funny.
And then the little rabbit is, like, having his own romance. It's kind of weird to have these, like...
Side animals.
Yeah, these...
That are doing the exact same thing.
Avatars for our
yeah.
human characters.
Yeah, it was weird, but cute.
I felt a little more for the male rabbit than I did the male guy.
Yeah.
So female rabbit and female person, like, are going away because screw you. Little rabbit tries to point out that, hey, you're about to walk on thin ice.
Yeah, this little rabbit fucks everything up, though.
Yep, by frustratingly stabbing the sign
thin
back
ice.
Into the ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like this bit because the ice starts to crack and then he tries to block it and it
this
goes
is
around
so silly.
Him.
Yes. I like that too. And also I was like, they're skating on a pond that leads to a motherfucking waterfall. That didn't make any sense, actually, because the water would not be frozen.
It wouldn't have frozen. Waterfall. Yep, absolutely.
So very silly, but also it is still, it's, you know, the music, they did a good job of making you feel a little stressed for them.
Because the ice breaks apart and like, yeah, right. They head off down waterfall. But fortunately, it's the animals that saved the day, though. That's what's fucked up. It's not even the guy who saved the day, and he, like, gets all the credit for it.
He does. Those horses, like, they were like, nah, we're going to fix it. Yeah.
Thank God, we're going to save these people. And they didn't even ask for a thing. You know, they didn't need a thank you. Like, very noble creatures.
Yeah, yeah. They're great. The chestnuts. They're so cute.
And two chestnut mares. Oh, yeah. I just got that.
Yeah.
And that's Once Upon a Time. Very cute.
Very cute. I love it so much.
Next segment, one of the best Christmas, best Disney ever. Christmas shorts ever.
And I love it so much.
I have to watch it every Christmas.
Me too. It is another one that I watch every Christmas. It's Pluto's Christmas tree. That's what it is.
Starring Mickey Mouse, Pluto, and
Chippendale.
Chippendale. Rescue Rangers, who are getting their own movie coming up with the voice talents of John Mulaney and Adam Sandberg.
Is
that right? Adam Sandberg?
Yep.
Yeah, Adam Sandberg. I'm pretty stoked for that.
I'm actually excited, too. I hope they don't fuck it up.
Really like how this starts out. So Chip and Dale, they're hanging out in a tree, and you know what? Mickey's chopping down a tree because, you know, got to have a tree for Christmas.
Yes.
And Pluto follows behind, like, and Chip and Dale are stuck in the tree, and it's getting decorated in Mickey's living room.
So cute.
Really cute.
Pluto, and, like, looks up at it so happy, and I feel love the that look in my he soul.
Develops eyelashes.
Yes, it was so cute. I was like, I feel that. Josh, even yesterday we were driving around, and he was like, the only thing that keeps distracting you from your phone, because we're just in the car, you know, he's like, is to look up at the Christmas lights. Because I love Christmas, and I love Christmas lights and magic. So I understand.
And I like how Dale walks through the Christmas tree, because you can tell this is Chip and Dale's first time seeing the Christmas tree decorated.
Oh, yeah.
I like how he walks, like, I walked like that, just hands behind his back, like, just sauntering along, like, just taking it all in. And he grabs, ooh, it looks like maybe a big berry or something. And he grabs this bauble and almost bites into it and realizes, holy shit, this is a shiny glass thingy. Okay, I'm going to show this to Chip real quick. Hey, yo, check this out. Totally breaks through it. Almost breaks his brother's nose. And Pluto starts to notice, hey, there's something funny going on here.
Yeah, he sees the tree start to move. Tree. Yeah.
I love, there's a segment where Dale, like, gets disguised as a little candle Santa, and Pluto sees right through it. You got Chip tugs on Pluto's tail to use it as an elevator. I like Chip and Dale, and I like Chip and Dale as Pluto adversaries.
Me
like,
too. It's really fun because you can tell they're just being ornery, but Pluto is just taking it so personally. He's so mad.
Taking it too seriously.
Well, he's being the classic watchdog. Like, no, no, no. There's something threatening my tree. I don't know if you've ever seen chipmunks in real life. But every year we go camping out. I know, he's so cute. Every year we go camping out near Bend with Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
And there are chipmunks at this campsite. And if you leave anything out, those little teeny tiny motherfuckers will come straight up to you. To eat your food.
Yeah.
Yeah, they break open. We had a chip bag that we left out on accident, and then I woke up, and I was like, oh, they didn't get to it, and then I picked it up, and all the chips started falling out the bottom because they made a hole that was hidden from the rest of the world, and I only saw it when I lifted the bag up. I was like, damn. And, like, you know, a bunch of chips fell on the ground when that happened before I tossed the bag out, you know. And the whole rest of the time, Chantel had her dog with her. Anytime a chipmunk would come up, they would grab a little chip and then they would run away. And the dog would freak out like Pluto. Just like Pluto. It was really cute. Super cute chipmunks. Super cute.
The tree gets destroyed in the process of Pluto trying to save the tree. And at first, Mickey's upset. Then he notices, hey, Pluto, we got chipmunks in our tree. Pluto's reaction is priceless. Where it's like, God, I'm trying to tell you that.
Yeah, I've been trying. If only you could understand me like you can your pal Goofy.
And Pluto is upset at the chipmunks. So he's like, hey, it's Christmas. And this is like, I mean, it's a blatantly Christmas episode by Disney.
So. Yeah, it is.
And then you cut to, and I like that everybody's on screen. You didn't get that a lot in these old cartoons.
No, that's true.
And you got Donald, Goofy, and I think Minnie out there singing.
Mm-hmm. It's so cute.
Yeah.
And Chip and Dale put a little do not open till Christmas stamp on Pluto's mouth. I love that too. It's so cute.
Because it's like, yeah, we're on good terms, but also shut up, dude.
Right. Right. It's so that's Christmas. That one. I love that one.
It's a good one. Next. So then it breaks off into. This is where it breaks off into. It's like, we're kind of low on specifically Christmas short subjects.
Let's move to winter.
What do we got? We Bambi. Can steal some themes and like take it from different movies that we've got out so far. And yeah, it's close enough. Like, what's got snow?
Yes.
Anything with snow. Well, we got Bambi. It's got that. Oh, yeah. There we go. Bambi.
Perfect. Not really. It doesn't quite work. It's cute. It's a cute little skit. But
and even before they jump into that, like, there's this weird diorama scene. Like, they have these interludes where the singers chime in, and it shows, for some reason, a model of what we're about to see.
It's weird. It's these intros are really weird, and they get weirder and weirder.
Yeah, they do.
I think. So the Bambi one is Bambi, like, learning to skate. It's
and
cute.
That works. I think that fits. Yeah. Like, I think it's legit. Because, Bambi is, like, his first snow, and Thumper shows him how to skate. I like that scene from that movie, even. It's one of the...
It's really cute.
One of the memorable scenes. Okay, so they got that scene where Bambi learns to skate a little bit. Really cute.
The next is Peter Pan.
This does not fit to
Not me. Even a tiny bit.
The only thing that again, allows it to be in is the fact that they mention it's like, sleigh bells? Snow?
Okay, yeah, I didn't even catch it, though.
Yep, exactly.
So, like, yeah, it does
blink and you'll
fit.
Miss it.
This same thing that they did with the Halloween special.
I thought you would fight for this one because, you know.
I love Peter Pan. Peter Pan. All know this. But it's not a Christmas movie. It's not.
What did she say? She says, you're a big, ugly girl. Peter Pan's such a dick.
He is, but I still love him.
No.
Oh, no. It's true. So nope, not a Christmas film. I'll die on that cross. Nope.
And then they carry it all the way through You Can Fly, You Can Fly, like, including that song.
So
and it's like, okay, now
weird.
You're getting even further away from the Christmas thing.
It's so weird. And then, so then the next one I love.
I like it. The
Donald.
It's The Clock Watcher is the name of the segment. Interesting.
Watching the clock.
Yeah. And it's Donald is working in the wrapping department, which I can only imagine.
Terrible. Although Donald is not the best employee, as we see.
Yes. See, I like these Donald shorts where it's like Donald versus like the elements or something like that.
Yeah,
not
this
necessarily
is Donald,
a person.
Donald versus the man.
Yeah. Donald versus the man. And like, yeah.
He's
and
like, you know, trying to be a worker bee, but he also is like, nah, I just also want to not have to work so hard.
I get it.
Which I get, man. We all get it, right? So relatable.
And, but yeah, I like when Donald has tasks and he just can't handle it because I think we can all relate. Because there's a lot of good segments. He's trying to eat lunch. Like, there's this weird, I don't know what you call that thing, but... It's their version of an intercom, but it's just a pipe that hangs down. Exactly.
It looks like one of the old telephone earpieces is what it looks like.
Because back in the day, you'd just talk through a tunnel, like just a pipe, like just a glorified pipe, and it would echo somewhere nearby. So I guess that's what's going on. He's got an entire scene between him and a jack-in-the-box that is pretty great.
I love that.
That Jack in the Box kind of freaked me out, though, because it almost seemed like it was sentient, like it was actively trying to sabotage him and stuff, and I wasn't okay with that. Jack in the Box are freaky enough. It almost looks like he gets to go home early, but it's like, oh, we've shown, progress in every department except one, the gift wrapping department. So you wouldn't mind staying up for a little overtime. And then he gets bombarded with a bunch of things to wrap.
I really like the squishing tool that he has. The crank that squishes the toys. I like that. I always wanted one of those.
That was cool.
Cool.
So that's a good one. That kind of fits. Like, I'm sure this one was not Christmas oriented, but it was just, it could be, close enough.
It's got the gift wrapping. It felt Christmassy. The next one is Sword in the Stone, and it isn't absolutely Christmassy doesn't at all. Fit. Nope.
Like, I do, like, they really pulled this one out of their ass. It's like,
yeah.
And I think the only, it's weird. So it came out in 1963. This special was aired in 1983.
Oh my God, they had to have had more shit than this.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that it's because that they were doing a re-release, as Disney was known for doing, and it was Sword in the Stone at the time. So they were like, "Hey, let's
put it in there.
Let's give it a little love. Let's give some Sword in the Stone some love."
Which I love Sword in the Stone, but I was like, "This doesn't really quite fit, man."
Because it takes the narrator's being like, "Christmas in Merry England," just like it was not Christmas. No. I remember that. No.
Don't change the story now, no. Disney.
And you can, I love it because they perfectly illustrate. The weird thing about that movie altogether is there's like three different warts, and you can hear it all in this short segment.
Yes.
So there's that, and then you get to Cinderella. Now Merry we're really losing
Christmas,
our way.
Cinderella. Yeah. I was like, "What the fuck is happening? These and intros then are not good."
The fairy godmother takes over for some reason, and we have this whole weird song.
Yes.
And then we have Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, and I don't, again, like, how the hell do we make this
to me,
Christmas
like,
oriented?
Cinderella would be way more of, like, a Halloween, autumn-y because of the pumpkin. They could have maybe swung it, but Christmas, no. Because she's
do
wearing a blue dress, like...
Yeah. They do that whole segment of Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, and then they even throw in like somebody else voice dubbing over the fairy godmother saying, "Merry Christmas, Cinderella."
Yeah,
it's like, what the fuck?
So weird.
What are you doing?
So there was that one.
There's that one. And, so, okay, so far we've had two that we would want to switch out for sure, right?
Three.
Peter
Pan.
Okay,
three. Sword in the Stone. Peter Pan, Cinderella.
Okay, and I think that's... Okay,
that's
cool.
It, cause...
So what would we... Okay, so say... Like, I would keep all of the other things, though.
Me too!
Like, I would keep
even the
all
racist
of those.
Santa. That we don't know is racist.
Which it looks like they did some good editing.
They did. And he's still a creepy Santa.
The last segment is called The Nightmare Before Christmas. And this is technically a sequel to... There's a segment called, like, Santa's Toy Shop or something,
yes.
Which was also by Disney, and... Like, the Santa has the same laugh, so it's, I think they're, like, bookends or something.
It's like the same Santa. Not the best.
Not the best Santa, because he says ha ha ha.
Yeah, he's kind of creepy.
Not ho ho ho. And it's basically, it even opens with a sung segment of, 'Twas the night before Christmas, and ho... So, and we see Santa land on the roof. It's very cute. Like, I like the animation.
It is
I like
super
the style
cute.
Altogether.
Me too.
I'm glad that they were smart and cut around the racist segments because there's some blackface and yeah, it's not cool.
It's not in there though.
But they did cut around it. Because he visits one house and I like it. That apparently Santa does all the work for you. He decorates the tree for you and everything.
I know.
We got sentient toys, very cute, whole bunch of toys.
Love
There's even
that.
A shameless Mickey Mouse toy in
yes,
there.
Yes, very cute. Very cute.
The toys have a good old time, like celebrating the fact that they decorated the tree for these people. I really liked it. It's a good silly symphony. And, like, the kids even wake up and, like, want to sneak a peek. And there's this one kid who his butt flap keeps... Anytime you have those butt flap pajamas, that butt flap's got to come undone at some point.
It does. And it's cute every time,
yep.
Guys.
Every time. And he sneezes and alerts Santa to their presence. And they take off running. And the kids all get to see him, like, take off for the North Pole.
Yeah, very cute.
So, of the three segments, what would we switch out? Let's... think that we have at our disposal everything up to this
Frozen.
Point. Like you have to I was gonna say you have to include Frozen. I wouldn't have them do the Let It Go song though. I would have them do the Do You Want to Build a Snowman song.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, that's a perfect segment for Christmas. So, perfect. Okay, we got Frozen. Tarzan. Absolutely. I mean, that's a given Christmas movie. So,
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So, it's interesting because they actually have created more specials of this, and they've spliced together some of these shorts with some more modern stuff, and one of the times was Tarzan, interestingly Weird. Enough. Like, I don't know how they pulled that off. Okay, no. What else? Try to get creative with it too, I guess, because apparently we can do weird things to make them Christmassy, because they even did 101 Dalmatians they made into Christmas somehow.
I mean, it does have
There's that snow sequence, yeah. Running away from Cruella de Vil, I suppose. Yeah, so it's bad. Bolt. No.
I'm like, am I missing something? I'm trying to think.
I know, man, I'm trying to think of the good era, because Mulan, not so much.
No, I mean, it is in the snow, too.
Mulan, but... you could do A Girl Worth Fighting For, because that's what you want for Christmas.
That's cute. No, Mulan would be for New Year.
They've done Mulan, too. Like,
God, I just don't know.
I know.
It's hard. They don't have a lot of winter shit happening, do they?
Not specifically. Yeah, I don't know. Bug's Life, no. Toy Story, maybe. You could finagle something, because they're toys.
Yeah.
And there is that segment at the end where it is Christmas and they get the dog.
Oh, yeah. You could show that part. Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. But 'Twas the Night Before Christmas segment, and then that's it. And then they basically end with the book ended with the same song, but wrapping it up. And yeah. And in case you missed out, like, we do have, I'll have a link for the special in the show notes again. Because yeah, definitely check it out. It was hard to find, I gotta tell ya. And especially
did all the legwork there.
Yeah. A lot of research, because, yeah, we'll have even more information next year, because Jiminy Cricket's Christmas was technically the first one, so.
Yes.
But I like this one.
Me
too. Brought back memories.
I love it. I love the song.
Me too. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, guys. So tune in. So... it's a little weird because normally our episodes premiere on Saturday. That's not the case this week. So we will have a new episode next Saturday, though. And it's one that you guys are voting on. We're getting back into the voting side of things. So in one corner, we have the movie, a newer movie, like brand new. Like, I think just got released either this month or last month, called Godmothered.
Looks pretty good.
Which gave me, I really hope, like, it made me want to watch Enchanted again. And
me too.
And I hope that's not, like, the way I feel throughout the whole movie.
We should have teamed those two up together.
No, because, no, I don't, like, I would have wanted Enchanted to win. No, and I would have been upset if Godmother won or something. because, yeah, it made me want to watch Enchanted. I loved that movie.
So good.
Because so that good. That was the promise that Frozen fulfilled. Like, I think Enchanted was supposed to be our Frozen, and it kind of was, but it just didn't have the lasting impact. And then Frozen came along, and we're like, oh, yeah, there we go. There's our modern princess. Yeah.
I still love Enchanted, though.
I love Enchanted. Amy Adams is great, and, like...
she's fab. Fabulous.
And it didn't hurt that I dated a girl in high school who, like, one of the perks was she looked like Giselle from Enchanted.
Yes.
Like, wow. And who hasn't wanted that moment that Giselle experiences in modern day where you just walk out of the shower and, like, birds bring you your towel and everything?
Dude.
Like, who hasn't wanted to experience that magical, like, moment? Like, I love that so much.
I would love that. Be fabulous.
And they join you in song and everything.
She's She's amazing.
So anyway, Godmothered versus, in the other corner, we have a little more sinister and always enjoyable Nicolas Cage in...
Hell yeah.
The Sorcerer's Apprentice. So we
got... We all know what I want to win.
We got two magical beings up against each other. Is it going to be Godmothered or is it going to be The Sorcerer's Apprentice? You decide.
If Sorcerer's Apprentice wins, Jacob and I will take a picture with my Nicolas Cage pillow and we'll post it to the Facebook.
Don't be giving them incentives to pick one above the other. Godmothered is new.
It looks like it's going to be great.
I haven't heard too much about it, so maybe you're going to want to hear it from us, you know?
Yeah.
So check it out. Vote on it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Vote on it on Instagram. Yeah. Or send us an email.
At DisneyChannelSurfers@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Disney Channel Surfers or each of us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
We have a Facebook that we mentioned, and we are available to listen wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
We also would love, we have a New Year's resolution, more people listening to us. So be sure to share this podcast. Give us a 5-star review, just spread the word.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, everybody. Have a happy holiday, a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, all of that.
All of them. Happy holidays, everybody.
Ta-ta.
Bye.